chance to say it, I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas, whether you call Sunridge home or whether you got brought here by somebody. Maybe you came eagerly. Maybe you just had a date. And, you know, to meet this girl or this guy, you were willing to come to church with him. I don't know what your story is, but we're so honored that you've chosen to take, you know, time out of what is a really busy time and a busy day, I'm sure, for you to talk about things that are really important at this time of the year. So Merry Christmas to all of you, and I hope that you get to spend it with those that you love and family, even if a few of your family are drunk uncles or something like that. I hope that you have a very Merry Christmas. Luke's gospel tells us that the shepherds, as they stood watching their sheep, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shined on them. And in the middle of all of that light and glory, the angel announces to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior is born." And that is good news. And that's what we've been talking about here at Sunridge all December. We've been talking about how it seems like that Christ's birth and many of the events that are surrounding his birth are accompanied by light. And we've been talking about how Jesus is the light of the world and how that light has affected us. You know, when the light of Christ shines on us, it changes us. That might be a foreign concept to you, depending on where you are in your journey with God or whatever, but when the light of Christ shines on us, it changes us. It changes the way we look at the world, it changes the way we look at ourselves, and it changes the way we look at others. John's gospel tells us that Jesus was the light, and in his light was the life of men. The light of Christ changes people. It changed the people of Jesus' day. I mean, what other explanation is there for people who, for, you know, had a busy life just like we do, and yet their lives, as they intersected Christ, they changed. And rather than just going on about a busy life, they changed their pathway to one of going to places of need and feeding the hungry and healing bodies, souls, and hearts. It seems like that even if you're not directly affected by the gospel's light shines on us and it changes us. I think there's even an indirect effect of the gospel. That is, if you're surrounded by people of faith, or you live in a community that has a strong influence of faith, it just seems like it affects the community. We spend so much time during this time of year, like spending it with loved ones and buying presents for people and singing songs and being overall nice. In fact, it's almost a miracle that I went to Costco this week and people smiled and didn't run me over. Only Jesus could explain that, I think. You know, the world, when Christ was born, desperately needed light. It wasn't a perfect place. It was far from perfect. It was dark and oppressive, and the Roman government kept its thumb on people, in particular the people of God, the Jewish people. And so many of the stories and events that surround Christ's birth that are fond to us were really just examples of how oppressed people were. Joseph and Mary going to be counted was just another way the Roman government said, "We'll send you where we want to send you, and you'll do what we say, and we need to keep track of you." It wasn't a nice place which Jesus came and shined a light. In fact, it was rumored at that time that the Jerusalem Chargers were thinking of moving to Rome to play in the Colosseum. I don't know, there's a connection there. The world still needs the light, and I don't know if we can do anything about the chargers moving or not moving, but if I say locations like Aleppo or Syria or Belgium or Paris or Charlotte or Charleston or San Bernardino, you realize the world could use a little light. Maybe just in your circle, in the community that you live and work in, or even in your family, maybe you could use a little of God's light shining in you. Well, how will the world know about the light? How, if Christ's light, when it shines on us and it changes us, how do other people, how does the world find out about the light? You. Me. Us. You know, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Christ's light shines in us, but it doesn't stop there. We're compelled to shine the light of Christ in the circles in which we run, in the places that we go. You are the light of the world. We are light carriers. You know, Luke's gospel later records how the shepherds, once they found the Christ child, they left there telling everyone what they had seen. When the light of Christ shined on them, they took that light where they went. So in the few moments that we have here, I would like to just talk a little bit about what it means for Christ's light to shine through us. I hope to encourage you in these next few moments, maybe to inspire you and maybe challenge a few of you. You know, when we talk about carrying the light, one of the first things I think is important to note is that the light was made for the darkness. In other words, if I light this candle in this light, does it really make a difference? But in the dark, isn't your attention drawn to this light? What good is a candle in the midst of light? Certainly we all have, those of us who possess the light or name the name of Christ, we have our comfort zone. We have a place that we feel safe, and we're around others who have the light. But the light is at its best when it invades the darkness. Paul wrote to the Philippians that you should shine in the dark like stars in the universe. This year, in March, 60 Minutes aired an episode about a school, St. Benedict's Prep, in Newark, New Jersey. And by 1967, St. Benedict's had been in existence for 100 years. And during that 100 years, the community around them had changed dramatically. That is, the original vision or the original reason why they were planted there changed. And so St. Benedict's at that time kind of had a fortress mentality, that the community had changed, that everything that poverty and unemployment brings, from drugs and crime and hopelessness, it surrounded St. Benedict's. And so they held their walls up to be a fortress. They kept the light in the light. And by 1972, the decision was made that they should close St. Benedict's. And all were pretty much in agreement. In fact, they were even discussing the moving of the monastery itself to a place more reflective of what they had originally intended. They were all on the same page except for one, Father Edwin Leahy, a graduate of St. Benedict's. And at 26 years old, Father Leahy changed the vision for St. Benedict's and changed that community. Rather than building walls, they broke open the walls and made doors. And rather than reaching an elite group of students, they said, we're going to profoundly influence the educational impact in the community around us. And so Father Leahy gathered together some of the finest educators and people who shared his vision for bringing education to young people who would otherwise have no opportunity, no fair chance. And now, in that community, St. Benedict stands as a beacon of light. 98% of their students graduate, and 85% go on and get a college degree. The world could use a little light, but in order for that light to have an impact, it has to place itself where light is most needed. I wonder if during this Christmas season, if you have the light of Christ in you, I wonder if just the thought of how you have that light, the thought of the opportunities that you might have or your family have or you and your coworkers have this year to take whatever resource or whatever light you have and put it in a place that most needs it. The second thing I want to say about the light is that this light that we carry, we are light carriers, not darkness condemners. Jesus said, you are the light of the world, but that is followed up with, so shine your light in a way that brings praise to your heavenly Father. Have you noticed that shouting in the darkness or shouting at the darkness doesn't really change the situation? Darkness needs light. There's a quote that I found this week from a San Francisco journalist. And he writes this, the problem with born-again Christians is that they are an even bigger pain the second time around. I laughed when I heard that. But I also thought, is it true? I mean, has the Christian community become defined by what we're against? What we're mad at? Jesus said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I don't know what your church experience has been, but I wonder if you haven't experienced a little bit of the condemnation from Christians. Jesus said that he didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. And I don't know if that message has gotten through in our day and time, but that's the message. It's one of shining the light. And you know, here's the thing about Jesus. People that were nothing like Jesus, liked Jesus. How is that even possible? How could he be the most perfect, holiest person who ever lived, and yet the most notorious of sinners were drawn to him? I think it's because even though Jesus had a point to make, he spent more of his effort in making a difference. Has God called us to make a point or to make a difference? You know, I mean, like we've gotten pretty good at making points today, right? All of us. It doesn't matter, religious, non-religious. We're all out there making our points. You know, we got our tweets and our twiddles and our sound bites and our memes, and we're just throwing it out there. And doesn't it feel good when you get a good one off? It does. I kind of have the gift of making a point. Like, I can think of the worst things to say in the best way. Is that a gift from God? I don't know. But I found that making a point doesn't really change anything. It's like shouting at the darkness. I think Jesus made a difference. Jesus had his lines, and he had his creed, and he had his doctrine. But somehow the way he communicated his light attracted people that were outside of that light. I think it's because he shined the light rather than condemning the darkness constantly. You know, it's not that people we know are not in the wrong, or it's not that there isn't a standard, a moral standard, or it's not that there isn't a creed to follow or doctrine. It's not that if I have a friend who has an addiction that I shouldn't tell him. It's like your addiction is destroying you and your family. Or if they're involved in a destructive behavior that's taking them in the wrong direction, it's like, I certainly should say something to them. Or you're this thing that you've chosen to do, it's hurting you, it's hurting your family. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying to never say anything. But I am saying the manner in which we say it, the way we shine the light, makes a great bit of difference of whether someone will listen to us or not. People know the difference. They know the difference when someone is making a point and when someone is trying to make a difference in their lives. The last thing about the light is that our light shines brightest when we shine with others. This candle is one light. In a moment, we're going to ask you to light the candles around you as light comes to you. But you know, like in the 18th century, They came up with a term. It's called candle power. You might be familiar with that. It's an obsolete term now, but it's a way of expressing the amount of luminosity an object had. So what they did at that time is they were able to quantify the amount of light that comes off of a candle. But they figured out other ways to magnify that light or to combine that light with others. And so they came up with this way of describing the amount of light that comes off of an object as candle power. You know that many lights together create a brighter light than one. This giving tree that we have over here in our worship center, every one of those votive candles represents a way in which Sunridge is shining the light outside of our four walls. Every present underneath that tree represents a way in which we're funding ways to shine the light here on our campus. This year, there was a woman in this community that was tragically murdered, and we had the opportunity to hold her memorial service here. One of us met with the family. And then we came back, and on a Sunday morning, just before her memorial was planned, we asked our church, hey, what would you guys think about supporting that and being a part of this? And you know, we had 140 people volunteered at that event. One light could have never done it. Could have never done anything of that magnitude. We could have never done what we're doing, what's represented in that tree, but when our lights shine together, our light is brighter. So I hope that I've inspired you, encouraged you, and maybe nudged you a little bit in this moment. As we leave here from this building, I would just ask you, like, think about the light of Christ. Is the light in you? Maybe you're like, Britt, I don't even know what you're talking about. What is this, the gospel and the light of Christ? Maybe you came with somebody and you can ask them about it. Maybe you can ask me. Or maybe you could just hang out in a church. You can hang out in this church. We're constantly saying here that this is a place where you can belong before you believe. We're not trying to like shove anything down somebody's throats, because faith isn't like that. We want to give you the opportunity to have the light shine. But for those of you who have the light of Christ, let's think this Christmas season about what it means to have this light and the resources and the blessings that God has given us. And let's look for ways to take that light to where it's most needed, to take it in a manner in which it shines light in the darkness over and above condemning of the darkness. And let's look for ways in our churches and in our homes and in our coworkers and the community organizations that we're a part of to take the light that has been given to us and take it to places that most need it, because together our light shines bright. We're going to wrap up our service by standing, and I would ask you to hold your candle out, try not to spill wax all over the place. And we're going to close with Silent Night. Thank you.